The book of 1 John chapter 2, I ask you to stand with me in honor of God's word. 1 John chapter number 2. I'm going to be focusing mainly on verses 20 through 27 this morning, but I want to go back and read verse number 15 if I could with you, where the Bible says, because I'm going to use this as an introduction, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. Little children, it is last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Boy, that's a good verse for right now. Verse number 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." That's a good verse. And I preached that last week, and I preached the verses before that, the week before. And so I wanted to bring you up to speed so that I could use this as an introduction to bring us to where verse number 20 is. And I did this in my own Bible. I did this in verse 20, and I did it in verse 27, because you see the little word "but." Now, all of these things, love not the world. The world will not last forever, but the will of God will. We live in the last days. We live in the last time. There is going to be many antichrist, which, by the way, that means anti-God, anti-word of God. All right? So we live in the last time. Now, there's going to be some that come in, but they're not going to be able to take the preaching of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God, so they will go away from us. And you might be reminded they were never of us. And so now he says this, but what? All right, here we go. We're winding up. "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." Then he goes again. Here it is again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now I want to preach this morning really mainly about verse number 20, about the unction of the Holy Ghost. And then verse number 27, we also see the anointing which you have and the truth about the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I will tell you there's a lot of falseness that's going around today about the Holy Spirit of God, but I want to preach the truth about the Holy Spirit of God as found in this scripture. Because see, what we have read so far and what John has preached to us and what the Word of God has taught us, that we do live in the last days, and we as God's people are not to love the world, Because the world's not going to last forever. The will of God's going to last forever. There's a lot of false teaching. There's a lot of antichrist. There's a lot of anti-God society. But we have the Holy Spirit of God, if we're saved, living within us, that can teach us what we need to know. And we can have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We can have the unction of the Holy Ghost. And that's the only way we're going to function correctly in this world in which we live. So I pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts today as only He can. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God, the teaching of it, the book of 1 John, and what we've learned so far. And Lord, what a practical book and many applications to be made of the day in which we live. Loving not the world and the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life are not of the Father, but they are of the world, and the world passeth away. But the will of God abideth forever. And we also know that we do live in the last days. We live in the last time. We live in a time where there's many antichrist, anti-God. A society, literally, has turned its back upon the Word of God. But Lord, we know that You do not change. We know the Word of God does not change. And Lord, we stand with the Word of God today. And we're thankful that the Holy Spirit of God moves into a person's life when they get saved. And Lord, we can have that anointing. We can have the Holy Spirit. We can be influenced by God in our life in an antichrist society. So I pray that we would see some of these things from this scripture today that might place us where we need to be, convict us of something that need to be convicted, that if there's anyone here, that we might understand the Holy Spirit of God is doing His work today, convicting men of sin, showing them the way of righteousness, and Lord, drawing them to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. We pray that You would be with us today, Lord. We need Your help. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated this morning. Now I want to say it again, but in our introductory way, John tells us in the verses that are preceding, verse 20, where we read the word but, and also in verse number 27, where we read the word but, meaning, now these are the things that are going on, and these are the things that that are going to be taking place, and especially, John is talking about the Antichrist, now not the Antichrist that will come during the tribulation, but leading up to that, in the last days, there's going to be this antichrist mentality. Does everybody agree that we live in an antichrist society? Any Supreme Court that would make a law that is not a law, I said, that would declare a law that is not a law. There has never been in this country the voting of the people that such thing would take place. Right. Never. And it is, by the way, it is against what the Bible says that marriage is. Amen. Marriage is the relationship of one man for one woman for one lifetime, and that will never change. When you take prayer out of the Bible, when you take prayer in the Bible out of school, when you have abortion on demand, when the sodomites are running things and dictating policy, you are living in an antichrist society. But you can have the Holy Ghost. But you can have God. But you can live a godly life. You can still live that. But John tells us, and he believed and he knew that he lived in the last days. Paul spoke about living in the last days, and we therefore live in the last days. Let me tell you something. Anything that denies Jesus Christ as God, anything that would deny or that would go against the Word of God. And by the way, same-sex marriage would be totally against the Word of God. It would be anti-Christ-like. Absolutely. And so John is telling us, hey, we're going to... But here's the thing that we need to be encouraged about. I said this in men's prayer meeting this morning. Hey, we've been preaching we live in the last days. in the last days, perilous times shall come. There's going to be Antichrist in the last days. So why do we get all bumfuzzled when the last days really fly right upon us? We live in the last days. Well, I would say to you that in verse number 23, where the Bible says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Same-sex marriage is a good example of denying the Word of God. It is a great example of denying Jesus Christ. Absolutely. God's people, therefore, as dictated in 1 John 2, are not to love the world. They are not, because verse 17 says, the world will pass away. But then the Bible also says in verse 17, but the will of God abideth forever. And then God points his people and says, but. Or could I say it, in spite of the circumstances? Or could I say the word but would say to us, in contrast to? If you look up that, man, if you ever looked up the word but, B-U-T in the dictionary, man, it's got about this much. You read all of it, you're like, wow, in contrast to, in spite of, such as that, even though there are antichrists, even there are people that leave the preaching of the Word of God, there are those that leave the doctrines of the Bible. There are those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are those that deny that salvation by grace through faith is the only way of salvation. Those people that deny that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, in spite of all of that, in contrast to, God says that God's people can have the unction from the Holy One. We can have unction from God. We can have God living within us. So there's some things here, I believe, that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit of God. And I think there's some things that we need to preach about the Holy Spirit of God that are found right in the text that we read today. Now here's the first thing I want to say about the Holy Spirit of God. Power. That's where we get our power from. I said we get our power from the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. Well, where do you get that? Well, he tells us in verse number 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Everything that we need to know is found in the Word of God. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Amen. The most important things in life, the most important things for eternity, how to be saved, how to live your life, how to live with your family, how to live in your church, how to live in the society that is Antichrist, we have the unction of the Holy One. That speaks about the power. And John, listen to this, John is assuring us as he is preaching. By the way, he preached in a very similar society that we live in today. The Roman Empire was at its height. And John is assuring us that we have what is absolutely necessary to overcome the apostate age in which we live in. Absolutely. Every believer has the unction from the Holy One. Unction, what in the world is that? Well, just stay with me. But I want to remind you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Here's what he said. Now he which established with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. When a person accepts Christ as their Savior, the Bible describes that our spiritual being is dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead. And when we repent of our sins and we take Christ as our Savior and we take Him as our Savior and Him alone and no other, because there is no other Savior, the Holy Spirit of God quickens us. The Holy Spirit of God moves inside of us and quickens us. And the Bible says here, gives us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God is the down payment of our eternal life. It's not everything. If you go buy a house and you like the house and you look and you walk through the house and your wife said, I like this house, we need to buy this house. And you want to negotiate a price on the house, and you finally come to a place where you negotiate the place or the price of the house, before you walk away, they'll say this, well, we need earnest money. We need a down payment to make sure that you're serious about what you're saying about the price of this house. You know, what they're saying is, we don't even know if you can afford it, or we don't even know if you can qualify for it, and all that kind of stuff. That's in a worldly sense. But God said, when the Holy Spirit of God moves in, that's the earnest. That's the down payment of eternal life. And your spirit bears witness with God, and you understand you're a child of God, and you can know that you have eternal life because the Holy Ghost is living inside of you. So when you go to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit of God says, don't do that. And I'm telling you, he's always talking to me. And here's what the Bible says. That the Holy Spirit of God is the divine teacher of every child of God. This verse is not teaching us that God doesn't want us to have preachers and pastors. No. That's not what it's teaching us. But it is teaching us the Holy Ghost of God that lives within us can teach us all things and illuminate our hearts and minds to the Word of God, because it bears witness with our spirit. John chapter 16 verse 13 says this. Jesus said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he will not speak of himself. Can I preach about that for just a second? All of this charismatic thing going around today is the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that. And we pray to the Holy Spirit. Listen, you don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You pray in the Holy Spirit. You don't pray to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never speaks of himself. The Holy Spirit of God, according to the book, John there, he draws people to Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. He would be what we would call the silent member, not the primary. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you all things to come. And the same Holy Spirit that he spoke about then is sealed today and lives within us. And John uses the word here in our text. He uses the word unction. He says here, but ye have an unction here. Now here's what he's doing. He is describing the Holy Spirit's ministry in a believer's life. Now what about the word unction? The word unction has the idea of smearing or rubbing something on you, like an ointment. Now, when I was a kid, my mom, she believed in menthol. What's that stuff called? Vicks Vapor Rub. Son, see, everybody that's in their 50s. See, that boy done been rubbed down with Vicks Vapor Rub. Ain't no telling how many times. Man, they would rub that stuff on you. I mean, you'd open up the windows of heaven and suck out your sinuses so that you would always. What your mom was doing back then, she was anointing you with Vapor Vicks Rub, so that it might get rid of that cold that you had. Now, my dad claims this. You know, I've always got to tell some Bob Abel stories every now and then. My dad claims he got so sick when he was in a foxhole in Korea. He was fighting in the Korean War. He got so sick that he decided he didn't know what else to do, so he ate a whole jar of Vicks Vapor Rub. Now, my dad claims it saved his life. I'm like, well, it did something. I don't know what it did. But it did something. You know what happens? Listen, when you get in the Old Testament and you talk about the anointing, you talk about a smearing or an ointment, it is really, when John uses this word unction, it is a terminology that was used in the Old Testament, like anointing a priest or anointing a prophet. Or we would read where they got anointed with oil, they got poured. And many times in the Old Testament, it is a very clear example of anointing for service by God or the Holy Ghost coming upon somebody for a special service. Now what's different is every child of God has the unction or the anointing of the Holy Ghost in their own life. And in the Old Testament, there are many examples of God's men being anointed for service. The oil symbolized the power of the Holy Spirit in their life for God's work. We could go to the psalmist who spoke about Aaron's anointing, the first high priest, and the psalmist said, "It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down into the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments." They're talking about when God set aside the high priest, the special service of the high priest. We find that Aaron was anointed high priest. We find that in 1 Samuel, Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel. Later on in 1 Samuel 16, we read where Samuel went to the house of David and anointed a teenage boy to be the king of Israel, and he did it by pouring oil on him. We could read about Elijah in 1 Kings 19, who was given instructions to anoint Elisha to succeed him. It's something where it's very special that you are to set aside somebody for service. And here John says, listen, ye, speaking to God's people, have the unction from the Holy One. And because of that, ye can know all things. He's speaking here about knowing what the Word of God says. And the reason I say that is because he says in verse 21, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. Now listen, my friend, the reason the world has gone as crazy as it has, the reason the world is anti-God and anti-Christ is because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. They have the spirit of the Antichrist living in them. They have the spirit of the devil living in them. And they are living the lie of their father, the devil. Oh, preacher, that's pretty strong. Oh, listen, I might get a little stronger. I'm just telling you, we live in the age of the Antichrist. The anointing now is different in the sense that every child of God who's saved has the Holy Spirit of God living in them. And that's why Paul said, so then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9, he said this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now listen, the Bible's very clear. There's two categories. Those who have the Spirit and those who don't have the Spirit. Those who have the Spirit of God are the unction of God, and those who do not have the unction of God. Those that have the Spirit of God are saved. Those who have not the Spirit of God are not saved. Those who have the Spirit of God, according to the text, have eternal life. Eternal life. Those who have not the Spirit don't have eternal life in the sense of eternity in heaven, but have eternal life in the sense of hell for all eternity. Now what I'm trying to tell you is every Christian, therefore, is a priest, and no true believer is without the Spirit of God. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9. I know these are long, but listen, the Bible does a whole lot better than I do. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. But ye, speaking to God's people, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now here's the bottom line. If I could put the Old Testament in the New Testament principle, every child of God is an anointed priest who is able to know the truth of God's word and to enjoy the unhindered access to God, just like the Old Testament priest did. Amen. We can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. Why? Because we have God living within us. That, my friend, is the power of God. And you know what we need? We need the power of God. We don't need the programs, and we don't need the personalities. We need the power of God. We need God to fall on us. We need God to fill us. We need God to convict us. We need God to show us, and He will. We read the Word of God. You can read the Word of God every day, and the Holy Spirit of God will bring something out of that Bible. He will wrap it around you and say, don't do this, do that. And He'll teach you the truth. Let me tell you the second thing about the Holy Spirit of God. It's permanent. I love this. Look at verse 27. Because again, we find the word but. The anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. But the anointing which you have received of Him, listen to this, abideth in you. The word abideth means remaining. That's amazing. The definition of words are awesome. The word abideth means sojourning. It means remaineth. It means tarrying. You know what that means? It's permanent. God doesn't give you the Holy Spirit of God and then take it away. It's there. It's permanent. It also means, listen to this, in the definition of the word abiding, which comes from the Greek word meno, it means not to depart. It means this, to continue to be present. It means to be kept continually. You know what that means? Eternal. Which means anybody that believes that you can lose your salvation or lose your eternal life, then it wasn't eternal in the first place. How long is everlasting? Everlasting. How long is forever? Eternal. How long is eternal? Forever. How long is forever? Everlasting. You understand what I'm saying? It's permanent. Praise God. That sounds like an everlasting deal to me. I'm glad God does that. The Holy Spirit never leaves the believer. And then, so Ephesians chapter 4 tells us things like this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Right. Folks, that's permanent. That's right. The Christian is not sealed until he sins, but until the day of redemption, until the day Jesus comes back to claim us as His own. Praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit, but also praise God for the permanency of the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to see again verse 27, because it tells us a third thing. There's the perseverance of the Holy Spirit. We are assured in this scripture of the Spirit abiding in us. Now we are commanded to do our part. What do you mean by that? Here's what it says at the end of verse 27. Ye shall abide in Him. You shall abide in Him. He also said this in the book of John. What does that mean? That means you have to do your part. You have to abide in Him. You have to read your Bible. You have to spend time with Him. You need to come to church. You need to fellowship around the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said it like this. Now listen to me. He said this again in Ephesians. This is about what he said about the Holy Spirit of God. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5:18. Now let me tell you something. That verse takes us from a valley of fallen depravity, drunkenness, to the highest peak of the Christian's holiness, the fullness of the Spirit, understanding God is not making a suggestion, but a command to be not drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Now let me tell you what drinking does. Let me tell you what strong drink does. It controls the man who drinks it. You drink alcohol, and the alcohol controls you. Christians are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen to me, and I'm going to make a bold statement here, and I'm going to stand by it, and I've even thought about it, so I'm going to say it. Those people who believe in same-sex marriage are not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I said they are not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. They cannot be. They cannot be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, because anybody that's controlled by the Holy Spirit of God would not do that which is an abomination to God. And so to be filled with the Holy Spirit does not mean that we are to have more of Him, but that He has more of us. Amen. Give it up. That's the problem with God's people. They want a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Well, I don't want to let go of this part of the world, and I don't want to let go of that part of the world. That's why John, before he ever spoke about the unction of the Holy Ghost, and before he ever talked about receiving anointing, he said, love not the world, or the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You are not to be controlled by the world. You're to be controlled by the Holy Ghost of God. And we must yield ourselves to Him, allowing Him to take control of us. That's why the Bible says over in the book of Corinthians that we must cast down imaginations. God cannot fill that which has not first been emptied. Water always runs to the lowest point. And the Holy Spirit of God always finds itself to the most emptiest and the most lowest of God's people. That's why pride has to be let aside. That's why God's people need to be broken. Our hearts should be broken. Not mad. We should not be mad over the event. We should be broken hearted. We should humble ourselves. Then I want to show you one more thing. The principle of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, I want you to read this. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. John said this, ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you. Now, I want to make sure that we clarify that John is not saying here there's no need for preachers. Because I'm telling you, churches who do not have a pastor are churches, they're like sheep that wander around in the wilderness and do not know where they're going or what they're doing. That's not what the Scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit of God uses human teachers in His work. Amen. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Right. But I don't need to read the Bible for you. I don't need to come to your house and tell you what the Bible is saying. Amen. You can read the Word of God on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit of God can teach you all things. Now here's the best part. You learn something from the Bible, God teaches you, you come to the church, the man of God stands up and preaches the Word of God, it gets inside of you, and it's the same thing that you've already been taught. You can leave and you can go out and be the servant and the child of God and the Christian that God would have you to be. Now the reason that I know that it doesn't teach us that is because the Bible makes it very clear over in the book of Ephesians where it says that He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Amen. And why did God give you a pastor? For the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And if you don't know this, Berean Baptist Church is a body of Christ. Amen. And we come together and the preacher preaches and we're edified. And praise God, it goes on to talk about that the reason that God gives a church a pastor is so people are not like children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Amen. And by the way, there's people lying in wait to deceive you. That's right. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Here's my favorite part about this, and I know I've said this a lot, but you got to hear this. I am your gift. That's what it says. Pastors are a gift to the church. Now, here's the bummer about it. Some people just get better gifts than other people. Too bad. That's too bad for you. That's all I can say. But you know what John is really saying? John is saying that folks don't need someone to tell them every move to make. I'm disturbed by people who think they got to call the preacher to ask whether they should buy a Ford or a Chevy or a Dodge. Now, I'm not lying. There's some people, they're like, they've been brought up that they can't decide which detergent. I need to make sure this ain't of God. Listen, now listen, we may make a lot of jokes about Ford and Chevy and all that. It don't make a hill of beans. Unless you grew up in a Ford factory, I guess, or unless you grew up in a GM factory. I'm telling you, go up to where I was just preaching in Indiana, every person in that church, in those two churches that I was in, drives a Chrysler because there was a Chrysler plant there, and everybody worked in the Chrysler plant. So everybody worked in the Chrysler plant. But so you drive up in the Ford, they look at you. I just have to say, hey, get over it. It's not more spiritual to drive a Chevy. You know what I'm saying. You don't need the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. He is truth. He will guide you in the truth. He will not take you into error. And the Holy Spirit God guides God's people. And that's why Jesus said in John 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, listen to this, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Listen to this. Here's another thing about what a lot of people teach about the Holy Spirit. But here's what the Bible says. He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus said. Amen. That's why he draws people to Jesus Christ. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. Now listen, preachers need to preach the truth. And preachers are used of God to preach the truth. The Holy Spirit does what no man is capable of accomplishing. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no preacher that has ever taken the truth of God's word and stuck it in the heart of a person to convict them. I can't do that. God can. To me, the preaching of the word of God is the most amazing thing. Because the word of God is declared, the Holy Spirit takes the word of God and smacks us around with it and convicts us and shows us that it is truth and then draws people to Jesus Christ so that they will repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Oh, listen, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you remember that time when the Word of God came and you were convicted and, man, you're like in the valley of decision. What am I going to do with this? How do I know? Because I lived that valley on April the 29th, 1984, when Wally Williams preached the Bible that said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and placed it in my heart and convicted me and showed me that I was a sinner, that I needed to be saved, but I had to have my will meet up with God's will. I had to repent of my sin and trust Christ as my Savior. Whoo! When I did, it was like a weight of the world had been lifted off. And the Holy Ghost moved in and been teaching me stuff ever since. And I didn't change overnight, but little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. I just read something in the Bible this week where God told Joshua, now I'm going to give you this land, but I'm not going to give it to you all at once. And the reason I'm not going to give you all this land at once is because the beast will take over and everything will be in disarray. But I'll give it to you little by little. And you know what? When the children of Israel went into the promised land, that is not a picture of going to heaven. That is a picture of the Christian life trying to get victory. He said, I'll give it to you little by little. And the Holy Ghost today lives within us little by little. Don't do this, do that. And we don't learn everything overnight, but when we do learn something, we ought to get to the altar as fast as we can and say, God, I'm a sinner and I need to get right with you. And if you're here today without Christ, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Spirit does what no man is capable of accomplishment. The preacher is not able to convict you of your sins. The preacher is not able to cleanse you from your sins. The preacher is not able to convert you from your sins. The preacher is not able to change you. The preacher is not able to control you. But the precious Spirit of God can take the sword and work mighty in a believer's life and show them what they're supposed to do, even in the day of apostasy. Even in the day of Antichrist. You know why? Because the principle of the Word of God is the Holy Spirit will teach us truth. He will convict us of sin. He will show us that Jesus Christ is the only way. Now listen to this. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, blindeth the minds of those, lest they believe the glorious gospel and be saved. The devil will try to snatch it away as soon as he can. But when God's dealing with you, You need to get right with Him. And you need to get saved if you're not saved. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God is not only, that is not only a great principle, but the Holy Spirit of God will continue on and abide, and we're to abide in Him. And it is forever. He's moved in. He ain't going nowhere. I guarantee you we need the power of the Holy Spirit today like we've never needed it before. To live our life in the day of what the Bible calls the Antichrist day, where the Bible calls the last day, where the Bible says love not the world, knowing that the things of the world will not abide forever, but the will of God abideth forever. Christian, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Abide in Him. Let Him work in your life. Let Him be the power that you need. If you're here this morning without Christ, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit of God would convict you of your lost condition. Isn't it amazing? When you get saved, all of a sudden you're able to agree with God. Everybody that can't agree with God, it's because they don't have God living in them. Once you get God living in you, you're going to go, wow, I believe God. I believe the Bible. The Bible says this. That's what I believe. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed.